How did you actually find out that you were gluten intolerant?
An interesting story. I was listening to a podcast. Growing up, I had the sensitive stomach in the family.
So my brother and I, we had this belief that when you eat, you get a stomach ache.
So I quit gluten. It wasn't that easy, of course.
Energetic life.
This new life. That's fantastic. What is gluten?
This is not the point of the podcast, right? We don't have to be scientists about
Google it.
Google it yourself.
And everyone else is just like, yeah, I don't think that's the thing that Kenyans have. I think, you know, you've been watching too many movies.
Right.
Did we mention we are in Kenya?
Oh, yeah, we live in Kenya.
So I'd like to talk about gluten-free living in Kenya.
I'm not a doctor or someone who could diagnose, but like,
neither am I.
I think that's a fair introduction of Samantha Mugeni.
And Darren Collins.
And together we are the
Gluten Warriors.
We worry about gluten.
All the time.
All the time.
Every time. All the damn time.
Hello and welcome to the Gluten Warrior Podcast. My name is Darren Collins and my co-host Samantha Mugeni is not here right now. So I thought, you know what, why don't we just do a very special episode of the Gluten Warrior Podcast where we worry about gluten, but also talk directly to people about the journey and the path of being a gluten warrior. So this particular episode, by myself, solo, Darren Collins, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what it means to go on this journey. It's not easy. Living here in Kenya, I find it to be a little bit easier than when it was in USA. Because as you probably already know, as someone who's dealing with the trials and tribulations and difficulty and time and effort and energy it takes to try to remain healthy while you have realized that you also have to do the healthy journey while being gluten-free, you know that it's difficult. And I can't ever say that it's not difficult because it begins first with pain usually. If you're watching this podcast, you probably found out that you were gluten intolerant or had a gluten allergy or were a celiac because you were constantly in pain. And that's a tough row to hoe for sure. And if you're new at this, it can be lonely for one thing. I know for myself, there were many, many times that, and I'm hoping this will be encouraging in a way, even though it is pretty negative, that you're not alone. I felt so alone because as an adult dude, you don't want to be showing your pain all the time. You don't want anyone to know that you're kind of always sick, and you also don't know why you're always sick. So there's a portion of you who's hiding, and there's a portion of you who's miserable, and you're hiding that you're miserable, and you're hiding that you feel like maybe you're different. You can't do what other people can do. For instance, going out for dinner. Everyone is ordering freely, and maybe right now you're in a position where you're being very, very, very careful with what kind of food you're ordering. Or you remember the time, and you probably very easily will, where you didn't even know why you were getting sick every single time you ate food. Growing up, I always believed that eating was the first step to having a stomach ache. Like having a stomach ache was normal. And then it became where I knew something wasn't normal. I was headed to the bathroom all the time, headed to the toilet all the time, many, many, many times a day, and feeling very uncomfortable. I was actually experiencing so much pain and not really telling anyone. And then also it shifted. It went from being in pain to also having anxiety and nervousness and shaking and just telling everybody, hey, I got to go home. I'll see you guys later. And then going home and being extremely frustrated. There was times when I would shake my fist. There was times I would yell when I'm by myself, like, what is wrong with me? What is happening? And that is such an isolating experience. And it's all because of diet. That's tricky. And it doesn't stop just because you stop eating gluten. For some of us who have celiac disease, there will be a period where your body is healing. And the smallest amount of cross-contamination causes a domino effect, where you still are feeling pain and you still are feeling even that anxiety, that weird body sweat where you're uncomfortable, you don't know why, your mind is racing or whatever. And that's that domino effect or a snowball effect, could be another way to say it, because of trace amounts of gluten that have gotten into your diet. When I first realized that I needed to be gluten-free, it was just because I had a big brother who has the same body genetics as I do, who's 16 years older, who told me, hey man, I think I know what our problem is, because we'd shared our problems. We each had this similar rash on our leg that would never go away. At one point he told me he was rubbing gasoline on it. Just like, what is going on? Why can't this thing go away? So many years of it. And you can imagine that how much frustrating that would be if you're putting petrol in your body just to try to stop whatever is happening because no one else can identify it. So we knew we were frustrated. We knew we were having a hard time. And he said, Darren, I found out it's wheat. So I cut out wheat. But I felt better sometimes, but not always. And then eventually he called me back months later. It's gluten. It's this thing called gluten. So we started to eliminate from our diet. And then we found out, oh, by the way, gluten is also in modified food starch sometimes. And gluten is also in soy sauce all the time. And gluten is also, and so it was this complicated, difficult thing where me, I'm not picky. I will eat anything. If I go to anyone's home, any culture, any strange foods, bizarre and unusual foods, man, I will eat it. I'm not a picky guy. I like to like things. But then all of a sudden, I couldn't eat a salad that had croutons in it. And I remember sitting down with my own family at a family gathering where we don't get together very often. We all live far apart. And here I am strategizing, how can I enjoy this meal without feeling sick? The only thing I could eat on the menu was a chicken salad. And I had to make sure that it was not fried because the fried chicken would be in the same oil as other things that have gluten. And then if it was breaded and lightly fried, that would be a problem. So I had to clarify everything, and I clarified it all. And I thought, okay, the next 2 hours, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to get through this. I'm not going to have any pain. And then the wait staff brought the salad with croutons in it. And everyone starts eating, and I'm like, I can't do this. I called the waiter over. I said, hey, can I, this said it did not have croutons in it, but now it does. Can you remake the salad? And my sister, who I love, who loves me, she just goes, can't you just pick it out? And so then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm the rude guy at the table. So it's like we're balancing our health, but also balancing our attitudes and our perception to other people and how they feel about us, which doesn't seem like a big deal if I'm just saying it to someone offhandedly. But if you're watching, you probably know exactly what that feels like to go through this day after day after day. Like someone who loves me thought, I'm just being picky. And she doesn't realize that, no, this is going to define how the rest of this evening goes. I'm either going to duck out early because I had some cross-contamination of little tiny pieces of wheat that got into my salad, or I'm just going to not leave and I'm going to be sweating and excusing myself to go to the restroom again and again, and I'm going to get extremely tired and sort of grumpy, and I just won't be able to keep my eyes open. I remember being on a youth group trip where together me and a bunch of kids went off to go help people in a faraway place. And we were all on this mission to build houses for people who were impoverished. And the food was mostly gluten. It's before I knew about it. And I was always falling asleep at meetings. Whenever we sat down, I'd fall asleep. I'd be taking naps all the time. And the staff who were in charge just treated me like I was lazy. Like I wasn't keeping up my portion of the work. When we had technical meetings, I was the guy who just didn't care, who would just take naps. And they started to think that, like, people started to perceive me as this guy who didn't care and was lazy, whereas I was actually just, my body was eating itself or attacking itself. My immune system was going crazy, but I didn't know how to articulate that. So I'm telling you, this is a tough journey, and I get it. And there's other people who are going on it. But it doesn't get easier right away. I'll give you a little piece of hope, though. After you finally eliminate this from your diet, you start to feel better, but those cross-contamination moments can bring you right back to the worst place. And so it's going to feel really, really gradual because people are going to not understand, and any small amount, trace amounts, is going to hurt you. This will get better. After time, years, maybe, it won't be so bad when you're cross-contaminated, and it depends on how and what kind of gluten it is. That is to say, if it's in a powder form or if it's in a liquid form or something like that, there'll be some differences. But I remember finally going, yep, I know what it is. I know how to do this. I can navigate this. Here I am. And I went to a Christmas party, And if you're like me, sometimes socially, like, you try to fit in. And I was at a Christmas party that felt a little bit above my pay grade. Like, people were, you know, in a different culture economically than I was. I was probably the guy who, you know, I don't know. If you're ever intimidated in a social situation, this is one of those ones where I was a little intimidated by the party I was at. And this wonderful woman came over who was one of the hosts of the party, and she had a tray of desserts. And she goes, "Hey, I just baked this out of the oven. I'd like you to have one." I said, "Oh, no, thank you." She goes, "No, I insist." And I said, "No, I really, she goes, "It's Christmas. You can have anything you want." And I go, "Well, let me just tell you, I'm allergic to gluten." She goes, "Well, but there's no gluten here." And I go, "Well, I'm allergic to wheat flour." And she goes, "Oh, honey, don't worry. I want you to have one of these. It's not made with wheat flour. It's made with white flour." And everyone is looking at me, and I'm in a position where I have to eat. In my mind, I'm going, "You have no idea what you're talking about. White flour is bleached wheat flour, and this is going to kill me." But this person from an economic strata way above me, who's the host of the party, insisting, has just defiantly told me, "Don't worry, all your bases are covered. I baked this with a different kind of flour than what you're allergic to." And I ate it because of the peer pressure. And I had a terrible Christmas party, and it was awful. And I went to the toilet like 3 times. I had a stomach ache, and I began to get tired, and I was no longer the person I wanted to be. And this sort of thing happens, and can be public, it can be private, it can be embarrassing, and it can be painful, but it does get better slowly. And there's some kind of a nice silver lining to it. That is to say, once I drilled it down and once I got it, one of the things happened is I really just don't take any pastries anymore. I really don't really have bread. I bought some bread at the farmer's market, at the organic farmer's market in Caron a couple of weeks ago. The German Bakehouse does a great job of making gluten-free products. And so when I feel like splurging, or I know I want some quick food like a sandwich, I did buy some bread. But that's really an exception. I just stop eating anything baked because it doesn't taste as good, honestly. And everyone knows that, like, sugary foods and snacks aren't the best for you. Sugar is a tough thing. It's not a good thing. So completely separate from the gluten issue is just also healthy eating. And it suddenly became very easy for me to eat more healthy because I lost my taste for baked goods. Most of it's not near as good because wheat is what kind of makes that stuff taste good. And the other flours don't. The reason they're not mass produced is because they don't quite taste as good. Or if they do, it takes a whole lot more effort, and then it's going to be more expensive. And of course it will. Baking stuff with other products than wheat is more expensive. All that aside, it became very easy for me to say no, and it became very easy for me to start eating healthy. And I found that as years went by, I started feeling better than I did ever. Like, I'm now in my mid-40s, and I actually literally have more energy than I did when I was a teenager. As a man, I think even my hormones are better balanced than they were when I was in my 20s. I constantly feel better. I constantly feel like I have more energy. But part of that is because I'm not replacing the snacks that I would have had before with other snacks necessarily, except in the rarest occasion. So what's happening is I'm actually finding that every other diet plan that anyone else puts out there, whether it's keto or it's some sort of, I should make a list, but I don't have one. All the other diet plans that are out there to help people lose weight or stay fit or be more healthy or whatever, they're all easy compared to remaining gluten-free. Gluten-free actually is really tough. And the battle that you're facing right now is a battle that once you actually beat it, you will find that everything else is easy. I mean, stopping smoking, stopping drinking, stopping dairy if you have to, stopping eating too much sugar or having sugary drinks, all those things are a piece of cake compared to stopping gluten. Because gluten is so, it's everywhere in our diets. It's everywhere in restaurant food. It just seems to be everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. So once you get that drilled down, once you finally get to the place where you're not having it, A, you'll start to feel more healthy, and that won't stop. You'll feel better and better and better and better year after year, month after month, slowly, but indeed you'll be able to notice it. I'm saying you when I really should be saying I. I started feeling better. I started feeling more healthy. I started having more energy, and I experienced it month after month, slowly, year after year, and even now in my mid-40s, I still feel better than before. The journey may not be that way for everyone, but I'm guessing it will be, especially if you were dealing with a lot of trips to the toilet, you were getting really, 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 really tired, and you were having any sort of anxiety that suggests that perhaps that was food-related, you'll probably find that you're in the same boat I am, that the health journey just gets better and better and better. And now, when I started learning more about what sugar does to our bodies and how and sugar's relationship to cancer and other sort of ailments, I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop having sugar. Not strictly, but just like I'm just not going to drink any sugary drinks. I'm just going to drink water and tea and milk and Maziwa Mala. And I drink alcohol sometimes. But otherwise, I'll just stop drinking sugars. And gosh, you feel so much better when you stop. But that's easy compared to gluten. Then I would stop just having lots of desserts and cakes and everything because, you know, I figured it out. I host a podcast. I know where to get all these great gluten-free treats. And some of them are very, very good these days. But even now, I'm just like, you know what? My metabolism's slowing down. I'm in my late 40s. Like a couple of scoops of ice cream is now suddenly noticeable. But you know what? Stopping ice cream, I love it. I used to eat it every day. But I should stop doing that. Piece of cake compared to stopping gluten. So you'll find that if you want to continue your health journey, you're on a path that is just so much easier once you've eliminated gluten than almost anything else. Your willpower will probably be stronger, and also that newfound energy you get from being gluten-free for a long time. And by the way, I don't think it's ever actually worth it to cheat. Some guys say, oh, well, I'll cheat. I'll have gluten once in a while. I've never been that guy. It's always been so miserable. It's not worth it. And even a little bit of discomfort has never been worth it because it's hard to tell how long it lasts. If you've ever been in a situation where, like, you've talked to, maybe it's not you, but you've talked to someone else who says, yeah, if I don't go to the gym, I get depressed. And that's a real thing. Going and working out and doing resistance training or cardiovascular training definitely is a mood enhancer. We know that scientifically. That's a fact. But it's not right away. It's not one of those things where you are depressed the next day when you don't work out. It's a little bit of a time lapse. And it's not until someone goes, oh, that's why I'm feeling bad. I haven't been to the gym. I think the gluten thing is similar to that in that if you cheat a little bit, maybe it's not so bad, but maybe after a little while you go, oh, that's why I feel so anxious. I guess I cheated the other day and it didn't hurt my stomach immediately. And so you may have a little bit of lapse of understanding why you feel the way you do. For me, I don't think it's ever worth it to do any amount of cheating at gluten, ever, 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 ever. And so having said that, I wanted to also say one more thing about that. Just a second. Bear with me. May have a sip of brain-boosting water. The discipline it takes to actually be 100% gluten-free is pretty high. And so I want you to feel proud of yourself for that. And I would encourage you to not let other people help you cheat at it. And I would encourage you to plan ahead. But that also exercises a pretty good muscle. If you're one of the persons who can say, okay, I'm looking into my next week. I know I'm going out to dinner. I know I'm going to places I've never been to before. And I know that maybe I have kids that are going with me and I've got to prepare for all this. There's a lot of planning involved. And I think that's a great exercise, a great muscle to exercise in order to get your life on track in general. It's like, if you're able to plan and process your meals, you're probably pretty good at planning and processing other things. Or if you're not good at doing those other things, this will also improve that. Some of the crew here do editing, and we know that when we get into the editing studio and we start to really focus in on editing, our brains begin to improve at other things because you're constantly cataloging your shot list and you're constantly filing things in different places and having to remember your short-term and long-term memories working overload when you're in the editing bay. And it just tends to somehow work in other parts of my life. So then when I go sit down to plan other projects, the skill of editing has sharpened my brain for this. And I think in the same way, the discipline that you put into being gluten-free and planning ahead to make sure all of your meals are planned in such a way where you're not going to get cross-contamination. Or maybe you've even called a restaurant ahead of time to talk to a chef. Maybe you've talked to a party planner to make sure something is available. Or if you don't want to do any of that, you brought your own food on the side. That's a skill. That's a skill that works in other parts of your life. So what I'm saying is, overall, the reason I'm doing this podcast is to say that it ain't easy. And getting through this is going to help so many other aspects of your life in terms of discipline of diet, discipline of structuring your life, and the be encouraged that it really is not just a journey of like getting through today so you feel better today. But if you're new at this, you will, I believe, actually continue to feel better and better and better and better. And you will be surprised that you're even capable of feeling that good. I can't believe how good I feel today compared to the way my life was when I was a teenager and in my early 20s and even in my early 30s when I was just figuring out gluten. I don't know many people in my age group who are like 47 years old who can honestly say, I feel better now physically, mentally, and emotionally than I did in my 20s, teens, or late 20s, early 30s. And I think it's because I've finally gotten healthy. It was not fast. It was miserable. There were times when I thought I had it nailed, but I didn't. There was times when I just didn't know that soy sauce had gluten in it. And so I had eliminated all this gluten, but soy sauce was killing me. And it was so frustrating. I just missed something, you know? Socially, it was very hard for a long time, but now I'm bold. This podcast will give you plenty of tips on how to navigate life in Nairobi. It'll give you plenty of tips on how to navigate life socially, and it'll give you a lot of encouragement. There's many other episodes, some about cooking, some about eating out, some about just navigating the world as a gluten-free person, as well as raising children who also may need to be gluten-free and doing all that. There's a lot of tips, a lot of different episodes. So stay tuned to the Gluten Warrior podcast. Check out other episodes that may be interesting to you or other people that we're interviewing that may have information that you'd like to learn about. I think there's a good resource here, and we'll continue to give you more resources. But for today, for now, all I want to say is, I get it. It's not easy, and it can be frustrating in more ways than anyone else in your life can actually understand. People understand a peanut allergy much easier than they understand a gluten one, because gluten affects so many other aspects of your life just besides your stomach or some sort of immediate reaction. It can have, that's what I wanted to say earlier, is that you may find that there's basically three stages of reactions. You may actually be able to get to the point where you sense gluten the moment you swallow it, maybe like 15 seconds later. I can now. Then there's also, but you may not. Then you might also experience a 1 hour later sort of gastrointestinal notice, like, oh, I'll bet that last thing I had, and it will be like an hour off, where that'd be the pain that's more typical, like stomach acid sort of feeling or a stomach cramp or something like that. That can happen. And that may be maybe not associated to toilet use. Then the third hour, that's when you may have another reaction that maybe you didn't have the first two, or you'll have all three, where it's definitely all systems go to the toilet or whatever, which also may be accompanied, or instead of having the toilet issue, you may actually be exhausted, just absolutely just, and that could last another 24 hours or 36 hours or so, and that can be from the smallest amount. So listen to your body really carefully. This will also teach you how to listen to your body, because you are sensitive to gluten, but for some of us, we have a lot of poisons going into our body. We can't tell which ones are doing which. We know there's environmental pollutants. We know that there's things that aren't good for us, like having too much sugar, or things that maybe are too acidic, that maybe you have ulcers or something. You know sort of how to be sensitive, but now with the gluten one, watch for those three things: the immediate reaction, the 15-minute reaction, and then also the one hour or 3 hour reaction. Just listen to those, because that may help you pinpoint why you feel the way you do. Because that will be very helpful in identifying maybe someone's house that you're eating at or a certain dish that you're having. Maybe it's a spice that you just didn't ever read that label. watch for those things, get disciplined at it, and then you'll find also that the rest of your life will start to, you'll be sensitive to what is triggering, what things are happening. But I forgot about that thing where you sense it at different times. So listen to your body really carefully, be encouraged. It ain't easy, but you aren't alone, and it doesn't get easier for a long time. But when it does, it's totally worth it, and you may find that you feel better than you ever have in your entire life. It's a long journey. It never stops. It goes until, I think this is with us for until we leave this earth. But in the meantime, be encouraged that this can be a blessing eventually. And so, yeah, complicated. But thanks for listening. You're not alone. My name is Darren. This is the Gluten Warrior Podcast, and we'll see you on the next episode. Thank you.
Up next, restaurant review with Sam and Darren.
Furusato. Furusato. Whoop. I've never been.
I've been to Furusato.
I'm guessing that's Japanese.
Yes.
Okay.
It's Westlands General. Was that General? No, I think that's like, what is that road? Parklands Road? I don't know. You see, do you know where About Time is?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So that the road at the end of the road where the road meets the other tarmac,
it's
at
sort
the junction.
Of near Valley Road.
No. River, still Riverside. In Westlands.
Riverside.
Westlands. Yeah.
Never mind. I don't know.
Let me see. Okay. See General Matenge.
Yes.
And then if you keep going down, like instead of turning to General Matenge, you keep going down, like you're going to the bottom of Westlands.
Okay.
Yeah, then you'll see it on your left.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like really just like the next street after General Matenge.
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah.
So it's great, huh?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So good. They have outdoor seating and indoor as well. I always sit outdoors whenever I'm there. We spoke about it in a previous episode when I was telling you about the bento box that I got the other time. So that was my first time ordering a bento box. Normally I just go there for the sushi. And that also they don't get wrong. And there's a soup that I tried. They call it miso. It's like miso soup.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think it has like soy something.
Like tofu.
Like soybeans or it was something they've done either with tofu or with soybeans or soybean paste.
Okay.
Yeah. It was interesting.
It was delicious?
It was interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, okay. The British interesting.
So the Furusato?
Yes.
Is it labeled gluten-free on the stuff? Do you have to discuss it with someone?
You have to discuss.
Okay.
That's
what I'm curious about. So when you go in there, you need to be prepared to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and to ask about stuff. Like, they coat the calamari with something. I'm not sure if it's a mix of, like, wheat flour and whatever or not. So, you know, like, how guys make their onion rings, but also how they approach their calamari. Yeah. Yeah. So you have to have that conversation before, especially if that's something you want to eat.
Yeah, I feel like Japanese is harder to get things that are soy-free, soy sauce-free.
Yeah, because even with the sashimi, I wasn't doing any dipping,
right?
But I really enjoyed the wasabi.
The Gluten Warriors podcast is produced by Iroh Digital. The show is executive produced by Eva and Sam Mugeni. Our editing is done by Voicebox Studios. Join us next Wednesday for another episode of The Gluten Warriors. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, AfriPods, and wherever you get your podcasts from.